Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a somber, sobering conversation today, talking about an issue that has faced so many, and if you've not faced it yet, you will. Based on the statistical data. What happened to our patients' Bill of Rights? What happened to our rights? We're seeing our constitutional rights, our liberties, our freedom of speech, and our rights of religious expression. We're seeing all of those undermined, eviscerated, curtailed by executive order after executive order by the Manchurian candidate that became the president that is unable to cognitively make a statement without halting and looking at the card in his pocket to see what his handlers say that he can say. We're faced with that today in America. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we somehow, some way have forgotten the fact that we have the patient's Bill of Rights that we need to depend on. We're talking with one of our sons, Greg. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven, that place, that state called Tennessee. Greg, I'm thankful that you've taken time to join with Dad today on this broadcast, and let's deal with some of these issues that I feel our listeners need to understand, to empower, if nothing else, to encourage, empower, enlighten, and to educate our listeners on some of the things that they have as tools in the toolbox that can retaliate or come against the establishment that wanted to kill our loved ones. And just as one physician said, how hospitals kill our loved ones and conceal it. Greg, wrap up your statement about the monuments in Georgia. They're in Elberton, Georgia, and a pseudonym individual by the name of Christian, he called himself, is the one that had those put in, and it's been, mum's the word, silence now for some 40-plus years. Talk with us further about that. I want to tie in that mindset, that mantra, that philosophical reasoning, and it ties in very well with what we see happening in America and around the world today.
Well, first off, when you think about a monument of that size and that scope, it didn't go up on the cheap. It was rather expensive. And then, of course, you have to create the shell organization and erase the footprints in order to do that, to spend that money and to not have any footprints. I understand there's some cash involved. There's always some cash involved. However, you know, what sort of ideology, what sort of monster, right? Let's be plain. What sort of monster thinks that it would be okay to kill 7 billion people, to eradicate 7 billion people? Maybe they have a long-range goal. Let's just let them die off naturally. Let's help them out with COVID. But regardless, what sort of monster would come up with that? Now, I'm not alleging or accusing Bill Gates, okay? But that sort of mentality, you know, perhaps had something to do with it, or George Soros type with his dozens, hundreds, thousands. Who knows how many organizations he has his fingerprints on or his billions of dollars in. But I want you to know this. You go to the GatesFoundation.org website, and you're going to find that they make contributions to all these different groups. Well, just keyword search this: Eco Health Alliance, Bill Gates. And you're going to find that Eco Health Alliance received a grant from the Gates Foundation. Now, let me just connect another dot for you. The National Institutes of Health, NAIAB, under Fauci, gave that same organization, Eco Health Alliance, a stack of money. And then Eco Health Alliance sent that money to who? They sent it to the Wuhan lab for the Wuhan lab to do their gain of function bat research, and that's what gave us COVID. Now, they are still yet to, within the mainstream media and your fascist book social media outlets, they're still yet to come out and say, yes, that's exactly where it came from. But the whole world knows that's exactly where it came from. We know that that same group, EcoHealth Alliance, was trying to release bats infected with a strain of MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. That particular strain had a 30% kill rate. Do you hear me? That's 3 out of every 10 people that would be infected, it would kill. They wanted to release these bats into the population so as to inoculate the other bats. Oh, that couldn't possibly go sideways. I understand that $14.5 million they asked for to do that research was denied by DARPA. You know what? I would not bet that it didn't happen. I think there's still a likelihood that we've got wave two, wave three, wave four, because this has been a very successful wave. Everyone is scared to death, petrified, and it is killing people. It is, and those folks that aren't killed by the virus or severely maimed by the virus are running down, standing in line, and getting vaccinations, inoculation. Well, by the way, it's not an inoculation. It's not truly an immunization. There have been over 700,000 reported negative side effects. Tens of thousands dead in America, tens of thousands dead in other countries associated with that vaccine. When the truth be known, people will realize they have been duped, they have been deceived on all fronts. And I think we can, you know what, I'll let you go. We're going to connect some dots as we wrap this up, because the money is as clear as day that the pharmaceutical industry, the healthcare industry, is right in the middle of this, and it doesn't have one thing to do with your health. It has everything to do with their bank accounts.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Have you had an event where you were told you could not go into the hospital, or where perhaps you've been escorted out? I'm looking at an article that says, mother escorted from the hospital in handcuffs simply for refusing to leave her recovering daughter's side in violation of COVID rules. An elderly mother in Jacksonville, Florida, spent the night in jail this week for violating a local hospital COVID-19 rules by refusing to leave the bedside of her daughter, who had just undergone brain surgery after suffering a stroke. Lynn Savage, 70 years old, was escorted from the hospital in handcuffs and booked in the county jail for trespassing Tuesday night, according to WJAX-TV. But she has no regrets for her actions. Quote, I stand by my actions 100%, she said. I am not sorry that I made them take me out in handcuffs, the dedicated mother told the outlet. She had been by her daughter's bedside, Amber, from 6:30 a.m. following the surgery, and the news outlet noted that Savage's daughter is currently nonverbal and partially paralyzed on the right side after suffering a stroke that Savage was present at the hospital for the support and to serve as an interpreter. And I could go on and on, but ladies and gentlemen, this lady was handcuffed and dragged out of the hospital room where she wanted to remain with her daughter. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're finding this taking place now across America, where the hospitals and the medical profession and the medical society and the group as a whole, they're taking the attitude that we're the dictator, we're the ones that's in control, we're the ones going to call the shots, we're the ones going to tell you what to do and what not to do. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is contrary to the Florida statute, which is Florida Statute 381.026, which is the Florida Patient's Bill of Rights and Responsibilities. It lays out very clearly that the patient's family has the right to insist on certain things. You need to read that. Pull it down from the Internet and read it. You have the right to say that you want your child or your loved one to have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, if that is an alternative medication. And the physician will tell you, no, that's not good, that's bad, it hurts somebody, et cetera, et cetera. I am here to tell you that the Patient's Bill of Rights says, and I'm going to read you Clause 3, the Purpose Clause. It is the purpose of this section to promote the interest and the well-being of the patients of health care providers and health care facilities and to promote better communication between the patient and the health care provider. It is the intent of the legislature to that health care providers understand their responsibility to give their patients a general understanding of the procedures to be performed on them and to provide information pertaining to their health care so that they may make a decision in an informed fashion after considering the information relating to their condition and the availability of treatment alternatives that they can choose and decide on themselves, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, a patient's Bill of Rights says, and the responsibility that a health care facility or health care provider may not require a patient to waive his or her rights as a condition of treatment. It is a sad day, ladies and gentlemen, when we find this taking place. But the major, major thing that I relate to, and I'll take our next caller in just a moment, I'm looking at an article headline, Deaths from COVID Jabs Continue as Planned. It says, as planned. Further in the article, and I'll just pluck out a brief paragraph, in view of all of the daily evidence which continues to accumulate that COVID jabs being injected into millions of people across the globe was purposely designed to kill people and to depopulate the earth by 500 million people. So why are people continuing to line up to get the vaccination? Ladies and gentlemen, if COVID, the plan is if COVID doesn't kill you, then they want you to take the jab, and the jab is on the fast track now of killing hundreds of thousands of people on a global basis. It is the design purpose to depopulate the earth because the tree huggers and the earth lovers of Mother Earth, they want to make sure that Mother Earth is protected. My question is, what value is Mother Earth, as they call it, if we have no human beings to populate it? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I wanted your audience and for you in particular to know about Dr. Artist's show. He just recently put out a video, and it was called, Is Hospital Protocol Harming COVID Patients? It was about a 30-minute video, but in this, and this is the important part, in it, he's a Christian doctor, and he lost his father-in-law to COVID, and he has made it his life mission to expose all that's going on, what you're talking about, and everything you said is right on. But he had everybody download from the NIH. It's called Table E. And he said, when they tell you that ivermectin is not approved, and he said hospitals will not give it, you pull up NIH Table E, and it is a protocol of all the treatments for COVID. Under number one, which is remdesivir, which is killing everybody, number two is ivermectin. And he said this is on the NIH guidelines that they will not adhere to. And he said he needs everybody that has a loved one that goes into the hospital to take this with them. He has made this his mission. He even says he takes emails every day. They are trying to expose this evil for what it is. I don't understand, but I'll tell you, the information in that particular video tells you about the vaccines, how harmful they are, and more important, this document that the hospitals go by, NIH.gov, and then you query up Table E, and it shows you the treatments, and ivermectin is number two. And he said the reason they won't give it is because it's not cost efficient, plus Medicare gets paid for the hospitals to give that remdesivir, which is killing people. And this is all in that document. It's a government document. And he said Absolutely. To take this to what it – so it's yeah. Dr. Artist's yeah. show.
I was and about the, to say, give that information for our listeners to be able to pull that up.
Yes, it's called the Dr. Artist show, and it is Hospital Protocol Harming COVID Patients. Again, it's the Dr. Artist, A-R-D-I-S, show. And again, he has a whole website on vaccines, on this, but this was just recent. And I think this is so important because it is an approved medication. And I have had many loved ones that have died because they and me and my sister talk about it at all, and we don't have any kind of medical background. Why in the world would they take somebody with a breathing ailment, like a pneumonia type thing, and lay them flat on their back? Not let them sit up, not, you know, do whatever, keep loved ones out to not even help them, you know, to get through this. This is definitely a very evil thing that's going on right now. And I pray that your listeners look this up. These are facts, beyond dispute. And he said, bring it, take it to whatever hearing you're going to, whatever you're doing. These are facts. This is the government. And it was dated July 19th of this year.
These
and that's what he said.
These are things that our listeners need to jot down, keep information. And when you call Tammy Voss, which is the deputy chief of staff for the Florida Agency for Health Administration, her telephone number is 850-412-3614 or 850-567-2133. These things that we're talking about today, jot them down. And when you call Tiffany Voss, tell her that this is your research, this is what you found, and that you want some kind of remedy for this, that we're tired of seeing our loved ones being forced into a position that will kill them. And by the way, for our caller and for our listeners listening today, be reminded that when you have a loved one in the hospital that they say has got COVID pneumonia, that is pneumonia developed by COVID. It is the attack on the lungs. And if you're not kept in a prone, that is on your face, a prone position, it is about an 80% chance that you will die. You must be off your back. If you're on your back, based on, and I'm not a medical person, but based on the research, if you're on your back, it's going to guarantee you'll have pneumonia and it will kill you. We need to understand what we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a money trail. Follow the money trail and find out. Just as our caller just mentioned, the insurance companies will not pay for HCQ. The insurance companies will not pay for ivermectin. Insurance companies will not pay for the things that will cure you, but they will pay for that which will kill you. It's the money trail that we need to understand. Thank you so much for your call today. Keep looking up. It is the scripture says in Luke 21:28, look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're on the very, very cusp of seeing God lift us out as Christians in what is called the rapture. And so even though that's soon, we need to be active, we need to be aware, we need to be proactive, and we need to make sure that we dial that telephone number. Tiffany Voss, Deputy Chief of Staff for the Florida Agency for Health Administration, 1-850-412-3614 or 1-850-567-2133. Greg, how do we respond to what we see taking place today? Should we just sit back and say that's the medical profession, they know more than I do? There are a lot of people that will not ask a doctor a question. Many people will not question what's been given to them in the hospital. Many parents, many loved ones will simply allow the doctors in the hospital to say, well, we need to give them the ventilator. Once that takes place, the chances are 80% that that person will not walk out of the hospital. We need to recognize the danger of that, but we need to understand it's because of the money trail. Greg, how do you respond? What do we say to our listeners that would be a challenge for what they need to do? We need to be active, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, tell us what your thoughts are.
I think that there's a sentiment out there among some believers that that we ought to just sit down and do nothing. There's a sentiment that we ought to just roll over and play dead. There's a sentiment that we ought to just submit. And I'll challenge you, folks. God blessed us with the system of government that we have, okay? A constitutional system of government, as opposed to how so many people like to refer to this as a democracy. You know, in a straight democracy, Ben Franklin said, a democracy is two wolves and one sheep voting on what's for dinner. Okay, mm-hmm. In this republic, you have God-given rights, and government is there, according to the Declaration of Independence, to secure our rights. That's their job. It's not to protect us from every little thing that could possibly hurt us. If that were their job, they would have totalitarian control over everything that you did. Okay, but that is not their job. Their job is to secure our rights, secure our liberty. Really, at the end of the day, the patient's bill of rights that you keep referencing, among that patient's bill of rights, is a guarantee that you'll have autonomy over medical decisions. I've got a question for you, folks. When you are incapacitated, when they have put enough medications in you that you can no longer speak, or they've shoved a tube down your throat so you can no longer speak, do you still have autonomy over your medical decisions? Do you really? I'd like to call in and explain that one to me, because you must be a much smarter person than I am if you think you have autonomy over your medical decision. Oh, I get it. You've already signed away your autonomy and said you guys can do anything you want to me. And you presume that that old Hippocratic oath is still legit. Now, let's back up just a little bit further, because I was talking about beating up on Soros a little bit, Bill Gates a little bit. Do you have an idea of how much money is at stake here? I mean, if you go to the site, and I think there's a book as well, Open Secrets, it kind of exposes, it gives some transparency to what kind of money is flowing through government, the kind of things that are taking place in government. I want you to know this. The healthcare sector in the year 2020 spent over $615 million on lobbying government. They spent over $615 million either giving folks stuff or paying folks in order to negotiate with government, to plug little earmarks in to government. And guess what? Guess what? There was an absolute windfall in the year 2020. 2021 is going to be even bigger. The amount of money we're talking about is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So they spent a little more than half a billion, and they're reaping a reward of hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, this is the pharmaceutical industry, the medical device industry, the hospital industry. It's a business, folks. It's a business.
Greg, if I could jump in and say this, with Pfizer alone, in the last quarter, they netted $80 billion. In one quarter, $80 billion net profit, $80 billion. So it's the M-O-N-E-Y trail. And any physician, and our listeners need to understand this, there are many good physicians, many good health care providers that want to protect the patient. But those doctors are now in a vice if they speak out. Here's an article that says doctors could have medical licenses revoked for COVID misinformation. Yes, it is a fact, this article says, recognized even by the politically left-leaning Centers for Disease Control, that vaccines are not safe for anyone, everyone. Yet, any physician that speaks out about that, their license can be revoked. That potential danger for some individuals long has been recognized by the federal government, which has immunized vaccine makers from liability for damage and injuries from their products, and instead has taxpayers pay up when something very bad happens. Now, a report from Becker Hospital Review points out that doctors in positions to manage their industry are taking the same censorious position. Agree with us or we'll hurt you badly, they're saying. The report explained that the Federation of State Medical Boards has warned all physicians that their healthcare professionals could be at risk of losing their medical license if they spread any COVID-19 information or misinformation on social media, online, in the media, or in person. In other words, they're saying to the doctors, either fall in line with our position and our protocol for the CDC, which is mandated by the money that's being paid behind the scenes to our legislators, which being mandated by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party that's in control in Washington, D.C. That's the bottom line. That's the trickle down. That's the analysis that I give it. We're watching people being murdered in our medical systems, in our hospitals, as a result of M-O-N-E-Y. Here's another article that says, medical dissenters sabotaged and silenced in a Stalinistic America. And it goes on to talk about politicians on both sides of the aisle tell me I'm unpatriotic, that I'm a killer, that I should be frightened and freaked out as the rest of the sheeple are, and that I'm a full-fledged creature of sin for not listening to our omniscient and all-powerful government and take the jab. But, Greg, you can speak to this. One medical profession and multitudes of others now have come to the forefront and admitted the fact that those that are called fully vaccinated, that is, you've had the jab, you've had the second, you've had the booster shot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Colin Powell was fully vaccinated, and yet he had COVID and passed from this life as a result of COVID. So speak to the issue, Greg. Does the COVID vaccination protect you from getting COVID? Does it keep you from dying from COVID? Is there a possibility that those that have had the two jabs, the fully vaccinated, as they're called, are they spreading COVID themselves?
Listen, the reality is that vaccination and the compulsory nature of Biden's push and all these leftist governors, there's only one group that's truly vaccinated or immunized associated with that vaccine or these vaccines, and that's the drug manufacturers. They're immune from liability. That's preserved in law. Can you imagine that? You're going to force people to take something, and then there's no recourse. You can't go back against anybody. And a month ago, the numbers of the VAERS system, the vaccine adverse effects registry of, I think that's how they did, there are over 700,000. A month ago, there were over 700,000 adverse events and over 15,000 deaths. Those were reported. Now, that system is apparently underreporting by some folks have calculated from 90 to 99% underreported. I mean, when a loved one passes away, there has to be some energy put forward to connect the dots and say, yeah, this is, and then fill out all the forms and sign off on the affidavits. Most people don't do that. When a person has a stroke, if they live, the family's just happy that they live, and many times there's not the push to insert the data. So this is data of an extreme nature in that it could be underreported, again, by some people's estimates by as much as 99%. I do have a little correction. Your last caller, I forget her name. I thank you, ma'am, for all of your information. I think it's Table 2E within the NIH, because that Section 2E is called Characteristics of Antiviral Agents that are approved or under evaluation for treatment for COVID-19. So if you go search
it. Greg, hold your thought for just one moment. I believe we have John on the line. We've got a minute and a half left. John Graves, your question or comment, please.
Minute and a half left, Dr. Youngblood. And as I'm sure, just talk about this. This is actually a spiritual battle. For this to be all over the world and the way it is with the hospitals and stuff like that, and with the government and things like that, it is such a spiritual battle. Matthew 24 talks about the end times. So if you could just kind of cover that this is really, I mean, that's all it's got to be. To be so prolific. So I'll let it go with that.
No question. Thank you, John, for your call. You're exactly right, John. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians 6:12. Greg, if you would wrap our time up, we've got about 45 seconds to our closing thoughts.
You know, as much as these things may bring some fear and apprehension, folks, you know, be concerned about life and death, but understand we all live forever. Our destiny, our location is what is in question. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, you've got today, and that's all you've got, because you're not promised tomorrow. So do it today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for those final comments. We need to keep on keeping on and look up. Our redemption draweth now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.